You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you learning on the air what I just heard in my ear, Taylor?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Vrabel is not returning to the Titans.
Fired?
Yeah, fired.
What is that about?
The Rich Eisen Show.
That is nuts.
Earlier on the show, 2023 Formula E World Champion Jake Dennis. Still to come, Fox Sports college football analyst Bruce Feldman. 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel. Actor Jake Johnson and comedian Gareth Reynolds. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic is coming in. He is the keenest mind in all of college football media. And that's why we have him here. What? What?
I'm not disputing what you're saying.
He's the keenest mind in all.
Why you're saying it.
Because we have him on every Wednesday for a reason.
Yep.
Because he has insight. He has forethought.
Yep.
He's thoughtful. He's fair. He's balanced. And he sees things. Well, I don't understand.
You're right.
Thank you.
You're right.
I mean, why can't you just allow me to compliment him?
Well, Chris, your compliments are infused with. You know,
infused
with maize and blue.
Oh,
Chris, remember when those two almost had exchanged words during the height of the scandal? So I'm glad that he's been able to put
we
that
didn't exchange words. What
well,
are you talking
got
about?
A little testy in here.
Well, Rich didn't like the facts that,
yeah,
Bruce,
that Bruce was presenting, and Bruce was worried he wouldn't be welcome back. I mean, you can't forget that, these things.
That's an overstatement.
These things have happened.
That's an overstatement.
Outrageous.
Oh, is that the new Darko drop?
What outrageous.
Okay.
I want the whole thing. Completely BS. This is shame.
That was Bruce after Turn he left
Darko
that one
drop.
Outrageous.
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 This is BS.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
I love this guy.
I wish I had that drop during the whole Connor Stallion thing.
I love this guy.
That was actually Bruce when he left after that Fantastic. One show.
Yeah.
And Rich was challenging them.
How dare you?
Outrageous.
Can't get enough of it. Can't get enough of it.
This is complete BS.
Oh, this is complete and then BS.
And then there's the LeBron answer. I love that.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
That should be a drop.
They fouled and we didn't. That's how you wind up with 23 free throws.
I feel like they fouled and we didn't.
That's a simple explanation.
Oh.
For 23 free throws here and two there.
How'd that happen?
In the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter.
Alone.
Man, I don't blame Darko for going ham.
I wish outrageous.
I wish I'd have watched that game now.
Insubordinate and churlish.
Churlish.
Right, very good. Bruce is on.
Insubordinate and churlish.
Offering more insight like he did back in August, saying Michigan's going to win it all, and now here we are in that world. We exist in that world. We started the show by saying the Chicago Bears are sticking with Matt Eberflus, which means, sorry, Bears fans, Jim's not coming home.
Eberflus.
That's if it works out. If it doesn't work out, there's the other one. That's the way it works.
They've really cleaned house. OC gone, QB coach, running back coach, wide receiver coach, assistant tight end coach.
They basically told Eberflus, we love your defense.
Yeah.
We love the way you coach your defense. The offense is not acceptable.
It's jabroni.
This is not working. Yeah. So he basically, I guess, said, okay, then I'll get rid of all of them. Unless it was highly suggested you get rid of all of them. And as you know, some coaches say, I'm not getting rid of anyone. And if you want to get rid of anybody that I'm against getting rid of, then get rid of me, which is what may have happened in Nashville yesterday. I need the full 411 on how Mike Vrabel goes into a meeting with the owner and general manager of the team and comes out without a job.
Right.
And I do not know why Mike Vrabel is an unemployed head coach today. 2 years after being coach of the year and being a guy who everybody who's coached by him loves him. And you basically, we're wondering about how that stone ripples into the pond up there in New England, where you're hearing nothing again. It's now 3 days since the snow started to thaw against the Jets. 3 days.
Seems like Ian Rapoport was saying on the Insiders that Titans ownership was kind of irked by Vrabel going to New England for the ceremony to be inducted into the Pats Hall of Fame on the bye week.
It's a bye week.
That's insane.
It's a day. Well, he's not supposed to
In the middle of their year, I guess.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
If that's the case, come on, just get over yourselves. Like, he's yours. He gives his heart and soul. Like, if you see how he operates on his job, if he operated in his job like he didn't care, and then he shows up, you know, and takes the red jacket from the Crafts and sits in their box, you sit there and go, oh, you're offending us? That's crazy. If that's really the case.
Also, there was the quote yesterday that they didn't want to work out a trade because they thought it would be too complicated and take too long.
Well, that I understand. And then the people, like, if it takes too long, then you can't hire the person that you'd want to hire to let him be traded.
Right.
That I understood that. But if this is really, you know, we don't think you're with us completely because on a bye week when everybody's allowed to go wherever they want for a day, that you wind up in the home of the spot. By the way, it's the same guy who ended the Brady Belichick era in that building for you in the playoffs in his coach of the year. 2 years after that. You know, I mean, get out. Adam Schefter came on our 20th anniversary show on NFL Network. You know? So what does that mean? He doesn't want to compete against Ian and Tom Pelissero or Mike Garofalo? Is that what it means? Is that what it means?
Did you give him I don't know what color the jacket would be at NFL Network.
No, but in all honesty, though, it's just like that's his history. That's his past. You wanted to celebrate when your fans voted him on the Hall of Fame. Yeah. What are you supposed to say? No, I'm the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. I'm sorry. That's crazy if that has anything to do with it. Because I'll tell you what, when I had a meeting with him in Tennessee, he was all about Titans football. That's it. And he was kind of miserable. You could see that they weren't performing very well. Wow. That is nutty. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Take your phone call right now. Chris in Wisconsin will take your call. What's up, Chris? You there, Chris?
Hey.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call, Rich.
Thanks for making it.
Early on, you had a discussion about Justin Fields, and I was just wondering what the talk would be if they went 10-7 and made the playoffs.
Okay.
You know, would the Bears say, hey, Justin's doing well. Let's keep him. He's our guy. Or would they still look at Caleb?
Okay. And I say this with ultimate respect, Chris, which, as you know, if you're a viewer of this show or a listener of this show, I'm about to say something disrespectful to you. Okay? So I'm giving that heads up, Chris. Okay? So with all due respect, if my grandmother was alive today and she had wheels, would she be a wagon? You know what I'm saying? Talking differently about him, but he'd have to have given the play to win a 10th game and win a game down the stretch.
We're talking one game, Rich. One game.
Well, I mean, they wound up being 8. They wound up being what? 7-10 or 8-8? Yeah, they wound up being 7-10. So it would be more than that. And so he would have had to have won a significant first of all, they did ball out in Detroit. They couldn't finish, right? I understand that. Like, let's flip that script. Let's give you that one right there. I mean, we could go down the list here and figure out the wins that if he did come up with them and showed up and won. He played, and I don't mean to be critical as well, because he did play better this year. And they did just blow out their entire offensive staff. So, you know, at this point in time, they decided, because you have a bunch of options. We're either changing the coaching staff and the management. They decided against that. You're going to change the player, or you're going to change the staff. And they might have chosen the staff underneath the coach, because the coach, they think, okay, he's got that defense down and the defense loves him. We're not going to change everything. We'll just change one side of the football. Now they have the question of, do they change the quarterback on that side of the football? I don't know the answer to it, but obviously we'd be talking differently about Justin Fields if he showed the ability to win games down the stretch that put him in the playoffs. That's for sure.
Let me ask you this. Do you think he'd be a good fit for Pittsburgh?
Huh. That's an interesting choice.
He's better than what they got.
I'm a Bengals fan, but I think Justin's got some skills.
He does. There's no question about it. And thanks for the call, Chris. Thank you. I don't know if he's on the toll road there talking Bears football in Wisconsin when he's an actual fan of the Bengals. It's an interesting combination right there. But do you appreciate people calling in? Why do I keep thinking Atlanta? He's from there, right?
100%.
They could use him. That's a significant upgrade.
He instantly makes that offense one of the most potentially dynamic in the league.
And I think gets the fan base excited.
Well, no doubt about that.
I mean, if they decide Desmond Ridder ain't it, and
I don't know how you go back to either of those guys.
They're too deep. Well, I mean, you can go again.
Every mock draft I've seen has them taking a quarterback either at number 8, or the latest one from The Athletic today has them trading up to number 1. So
to go get Caleb.
Yes.
Okay. And who do they have at 8? Who do these mocks have them taking a quarterback at 8?
I've seen Penix at 8.
That's high.
Seems high for me, but
that's really high up.
I've seen that.
And again, they have to decide. Somebody's going to have to decide. We're going to go and trade draft capital to get somebody that's got 2 years left on a contract. One of them is rookie deal. Another one is a fifth-year option. And then we'll let them play through the fourth year of the rookie deal and see how it goes. And if it goes great, we'll tear that up and we'll give him an extension after his fifth-year option. Or we'll just tear it up and start paying him right now. I doubt they'll do that. Somebody's got to decide that, because the Bears are weighing that in what they're maybe doing with Caleb. Let's go with the our usual Wednesday fare. It's time for my final power rankings. Right? Because I'm not going to do power rankings during the playoffs, am I?
No,
I can't.
It's kind of over.
At this point in time, this is the last time I can pick a field of 10, right?
Yeah.
After this week, we're down to 8. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I am. I smell what you're cooking.
Taking us home right now.
Thank you so much. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, let's hit it. Let's hit it, everybody. Time for power rankings. You ready?
Let's go.
All right, number 10 on the list. He's on tomorrow's program. That's part of the reason why I'm having him on. Because he's my boy. I'm putting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back on my list.
Come on.
They're back on my list. What do you mean, come on? You want me to put the Eagles here? Instead? I think they're beating the Eagles. How does that sound? They're going to be, Chris, if they're in the final 8, how are they not making the top 10 of my final power rankings list? See the way I'm looking? I'm not just looking backwards and currently, I'm looking forwards. I'm a forward thinker, just like Baker Mayfield. He's going to go out there on a Monday night, and he's going to plant a flag right on top of the Philadelphia Eagles and end their NFC reign and say to everyone, I'm the quarterback here now. I actually came into the spot. I'm the guy after the guy, and you don't ever want to be the guy after the guy. You want to be the guy after the guy was after the guy, and the guy being Tom Brady. Look at him. He might actually take the Buccaneers further this year than Tom Brady did in his final year there.
I mean, the Eagles do have 11 wins.
I understand what you're saying.
So they're not on the list, Eagles?
Well, wait. Number 9. Honestly, good things come to those.
Okay. I mean,
thanks for not saying anything, TJ. That's your point. Oh, by the way, feel free.
I got
you. Just wait. You
there's only
talk
one team I care I about on this list.
It's
let's be honest. So I'm just going to wait.
No
to see
change.
Where you put them.
No change. Rams are still
this
nine.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
Darko, Darko is now heckling me on my
Thank
power
you,
rankings.
Darko, jeez, some support.
Boy, we're taking our new Darko drop for a spin here.
Outrageous.
All right, I got to pull it together. Stop. The Rams are number nine. Matthew Stafford, hey, in Detroit, you can't wear his jersey, right, to the game? I don't like the fact that they told fans, don't wear his jersey. Just have the good sense. Look at Puka and Mom. Look at the Nakua's up on the screen right there.
It's my guy.
How wholesome is that?
It's my guy.
How wholesome is that? I should have asked Troy Polamalu yesterday, are you jealous of Puka Nakua's hair?
No.
No one's choice.
Rams are ninth on this list. I really like the way that they are playing. What a great season for the Los Angeles Rams.
Very surprising.
Down two spots. Number eight. I am genuinely concerned for this banged up team going into 0 degree temperature when they're from South Florida. I've got the Miami Dolphins here. I almost put them lower because of how significantly hurt I think they are and how they are in a tumble. How do you leave them off the list, Chris? There's only 12 playoff teams. What, are you going to put a team that didn't make the playoffs on the list? I'm not going to do that.
You're already leaving off an 11-win team.
I'm already – which 11? Oh, yeah, I know that. You don't think – hold on a minute. You think the Eagles beat the Dolphins?
Yeah, come on.
You – wait. Chris, you think the Philadelphia Eagles, the way that they have been playing since the end of October – comes in.
I'm with Chris Long. What about the Dolphins gives you confidence?
Well, Tua and Tyreek and Waddle, if healthy, and Mostert when he's back, and
A-Chan. A lot of ifs,
A-Chan and Van Ginkel.
A lot of banged up players.
And Jalen Ramsey. And my friend in the capri pants.
And,
you can't wear those in 0 degree
Tua
temperature.
In a big game.
What if he shows up in capri pants in 0 degrees?
Can't do
those
that.
Glasses. He usually wears metal rims.
Can't do that.
You got to show it with plastic rim glasses, don't you?
Contacts. Something.
Ski goggles. That'd be weird.
It's going to be 0 degrees.
Number seven on the list, up one spot. I put the Kansas City Chiefs here. I think they are more likely to flip a switch than anybody else limping into the playoffs.
We have an
with
easy
their play.
Matchup.
Okay, easy matchup, dude. Seven on the list are the Chiefs. Six on the list is the team that beat the Chiefs to start the season, bite off a kneecap, and also, you know, raise a red flag for the first time in Kansas City. I put the Lions right here. And I would put them above the team in front of them if they only friggin' reported as eligible in a way that Brad Allen hurt them. I like the Lions here, but I'll put the Cowboys above them. I got the Cowboys at five, and I'm not
Cowboys at five. That is low.
Why? I've got the Browns at four. Why?
I don't believe the Browns would beat the Cowboys.
Excuse me.
I didn't say this last week because I don't want to be the guy who constantly jumps in on your list because I'm trying not to do that. This is the second week in a row. You think the Browns are better than the Cowboys?
You know what? Your pushback on thinking that the Browns aren't all that wide because they're the Browns and you're the Dallas Cowboys. Is that what it is?
Not,
as if Myles Garrett would show up in Texas and it would just be another walk in the park for him. No big deal. Uh-oh. He wouldn't come and try and turn one of your tackles into a turnstile.
That's fine, Tyron Smith. He's
I got it.
Going to the Pro Football Hall
of Fame.
I'll take
I get
my
it.
Chances.
I got it. Okay, the Browns are just the Browns. They've always been the Browns, and Flacco isn't playing out of. You know, there's only one word that I have for that idea.
Outrageous.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm concerned that everyone's taking the Browns this week.
Understood. So what? Maybe sometimes the pack understands. Number three on the list are the Buffalo Bills. Sorry. Number two on the list are the 49ers, and number one on the list are the Ravens. I'm not changing anything just because everybody's resting in week 18. The Ravens, Niners, Browns all rested. Cowboys look great.
Texans. No
Boy,
Steelers.
I would love to see a Cowboys-Browns Super Bowl just to
Eagles.
Prove me right.
Yeah, me too.
I know that. That's my final power rankings list. I left the Packers and the Eagles off the list as my playoff teams.
Steelers.
And the Steelers, correct. Left them off the list. So there's four. Who else did I leave off the list from the Super Bowl? And the Texans.
Yep.
Texans, I mean, I guess I could give you another four just to rank them there.
How are the Texans not above the Bucs?
I don't know. I just put the Buccaneers there just because, you know, I feel them.
All right.
And I think out of the, let me ask you this, what's more likely?
I can feel it.
Texans, Packers, Steelers, Buccaneers, most likely to make the divisional round.
Texans have a home game.
And?
I know so do the Bucs, but.
I just gave you the four. Put it on Twitter.
Say it again.
Put that on, of those four teams, the Bucs, the Texans, the Steelers, the Packers, which team is most likely to make the divisional round? All right. And that's why I put the Bucs 10th.
Packers.
All right. So sometimes I put it just thinking about who's winning this weekend, and then I also think who would beat each other. And I'm sitting here saying the Browns would beat the Cowboys if they played.
Yeah. Where?
Why not? Huh?
Where are they playing?
On Earth. Let's see how Earth responds to that.
They'd be in Dallas.
Okay.
They'd lose.
All right. I hear you. Browns. Okay, fine. That's my power rankings. There are many others like it, but this one is mine. Let's take a break. A parade for Bruce Feldman. Bruce Feldman, who has the knowledge and the forethought and the keen awareness about this sport. His finger's on the pulse. That's why he's employed by two outlets.
We should get a confetti gun for when he
Fox
comes out.
Fox Sports and The Athletic. Bruce Feldman, coming up here next. You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. Rich Eisen here. If you love football as much as we do here and want to be in the game every day, there's something the guys on my show have been enjoying. Prize Picks Daily Fantasy Sports, the number one daily fantasy sports app. Brockman, tell everybody about Prize Picks and your strategy this season.
Rich, it's fun and easy. Pick two players or more based on their stats and place your entry. It takes less than 60 seconds and just a few taps. You make your picks and boom, you're part of the action. With basketball season here, you can now pick combo projections across football and basketball from the Specials League, a league created specifically for combo projections that includes two or more players from different sports and leagues. Prize Picks even has a reboot policy where your entries stay in play if one of your players gets injured. For basketball and football games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player is rebooted. Prize Picks is the only daily fantasy sports platform with insurance for injury. I love Prize Picks because it adds to my game time experience. Look, looking ahead this week, NFL, Jahmyr Gibbs, total yards, Tony Pollard, rush yards. Boom, that's a winner.
If you're eager to test your knowledge and skills, play the game enjoyed by millions and join the Prize Picks community. Visit prizepicks.com/pigskin and use code pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code pigskin at prizepicks.com/pigskin for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Look who's here. The brilliant, prescient Fox Sports and Athletic sage, Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, Bruce.
Good to see you, Rich.
How's it going?
It's going great. I mean, I got a cold in Houston.
You
but
did?
Otherwise, yeah.
Well, because it was pouring, right? It was like a tornado alert before the game or something like that.
Yeah, I
guess. Happened?
It's fine. It was a season on the road. You're going to get sick sooner or later. I got it. But it's awesome to have two different teams in there. And I, you know, to see Michigan punctuate this fellow who's 3 years in the making.
Right, right. Two different teams, and now it'll be a Big Ten matchup. It just feels like it was the end of an era for the sport, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think now that we're going to 12 teams, we're going to have to reevaluate how we talk about teams, how the process of it. But I just think for this moment, like I said, it felt like it was 3 years in the making for Jim Harbaugh. On the field after the game, I was with Tom Crean, who's his brother-in-law, the former basketball coach. And Joni is obviously Jim and John's sister. And I hadn't seen her since when Jim first got back to Michigan. Fox sent me there to Ann Arbor, and we had a big sit-down. But before that, I had gone to Bloomington to sit down with Joni just to talk about her brother on camera. And I hadn't seen her since then. And it felt like a really long time ago. And quite honestly, it is. Yeah, it was almost a decade ago.
Right, I know.
You know, so it's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we came on the air in 2014, October of 2014. And, you know, Jim was going through his final year with the 49ers. And about 6 weeks into our tenure, it was apparent that there was a fraying in San Francisco. And I just kept on trying to say, well, maybe you should just go back to Michigan, having no idea that would actually happen. But I kept talking about it, talking about it, talking about it. And now here we are, almost in year 10 of our program. And I still can't believe this finally happened. But you saw it coming. And that's one of the things I want to talk about as the radio audience is about to return. Back on the Rich Eisen Show radio network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. In his usual Wednesday spot from Fox Sports and The Athletic, back from Houston from the national championship game, is Bruce Feldman. Good to see you, sir. So let's just jump right into it. I spoke at the beginning of yesterday's show about what it meant to me personally, emotionally, to see Michigan win it all. What do you think Michigan's win communicates about college football writ large?
I think it was a good reminder about sometimes the best teams do win. And what you had, I think, on Monday night were the two most emotionally strong teams because they'd been through so much in terms of one team was a two-win team during COVID. That was Michigan. Hit, you know, essentially hit rock bottom. Jim Harbaugh took a pay cut. You know, I talked to a lot of players and coaches about what that year was like. Quiddy Pay, who you remember, you know, he was a captain on that team. And I talked to Quiddy over the weekend because some of the players had referenced him. He's now with the Colts. But, you know, he was telling me he would almost tear up watching this team because the tone that they were trying to set back then to kind of build this to where it is, I think he felt a very big attachment to that. You know, on the other side, Washington, those guys, a lot of them had three different head coaches. They signed under Chris Peterson, had Jimmy Lake, and then obviously have Kalen DeBoer now. I mean, they were a 4-8 team. Nobody saw this coming. But I think the bond between both of them is a foundation of a lot of, especially offensive line guys. I mean, if you look at how that often is the backbone of any great team, the last three Joe Moore awards are
Michigan and Washington. Yeah.
And there was a lot of guys who I talked to who talked about almost leaving, you know, almost transferring out. I mean, I had a great conversation about an hour after the national title game with Trevor Keegan, who's one of the leaders of that Michigan team, an offensive lineman. And he was, you know, very reflective on he almost left at one point. And he's, you know, his feelings on football really kind of changed. They did a 180 for a while and talked about how Sharon Moore helped him love the game again. And so I think all those things kind of come together and came to fruition for certainly Michigan this season and on Monday night especially.
How about the way Michigan put its team together? I mean, what does that say? Because there's not, you know, there's not five stars everywhere.
No, and I think what we might have talked about this after the Rose Bowl, and I definitely talked to some of the players. Certainly, Kenneth Grant, who's a budding superstar there, and he was a three-star guy when he committed to Michigan from Indiana. You know, and they talked about, you know, Mike Barrett, who's a terrific linebacker and played a lot of football, also three-star guy out of high school. You know, I talked about we're the no-star defense, and I don't think it's. I think it's actually the more I've thought about what they said. I think it's true in this regard, where it's like a little like the old Dolphins perfect team of the no-name defense back in, you know, to go way back. I think this team is so much better than the individual, you know, as a group. You know, one thing that they didn't get enough credit for over time, and I think that really showed itself on Monday night especially, they're a great tackling team. We don't talk about that enough. And I think Rich Rodriguez, who, you know, a lot of Michigan fans won't love that name to come up in there, but like Rich Rodriguez, one of the guys who had, I know, had talked about how the game of modern football had changed and the hardest, and it had become so much a space game. And the hardest thing to do is make an open field tackle. Look at Mikey Sainristil. Look at some of the guys who stop first downs from happening. Mm-hmm. You know, Michigan is very good at that. And I think lost in all the other chatter of everything else was that they are, you know, they're really physical. and they're really fundamentally sound. And to me, that shined through again Monday night.
Well, Sanders still is a perfect personification of how great this defense is with, you know, I guess no stars. I mean, the kid's a converted wide receiver and puts on number zero. And, I mean, there's a possibility he's going to go in the first round of this draft. I mean, like, I know that that might be an outside shot, but he's got a certain knack for the football, and he's a leader. And it's kind of fitting that he had that damn near pick six to kind of end the game, and Corum scoring twice in the fourth quarter, who comes back from a knee injury. And that's the phrase Michigan says, those who stay will be champions. And now he is. J.J. McCarthy with only one loss since he's taken over control of the quarterback position. All of those things just they kind of point out. And then that front seven is just completely dominant, which is and I don't mind that you bring up Rich Rodriguez, because I know you mentioned that, but that just reminds me of the nonstop chatter that after Lloyd Carr, Michigan will never return to prominence, and not even Jim Harbaugh could change it because of what happened against Michigan State with that botched punt, and then Urban Meyer dominates. That's all I kept hearing. And so now that they're national champions, it's a mission accomplished banner that kind of shuts everybody up. So I don't mind it.
Yeah, look, I get it. I mean, I know you had Charles on here a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because, like, you know, Charles is arguably the greatest of the greatest, you know, kind of thing.
Him and Brady on either side of the ball. You can make an argument.
In terms of at Michigan, sure. You know, like, right. Obviously. Mm-hmm. And this team, I feel like it was probably way more than 3 years in the making. I feel like the stuff you said, certainly with Ohio State, especially, you know, and like you mentioned JJ before, you know, JJ grew up wanting to be a Buckeye and they chose somebody else. And so, like, you know, last year, I think we talked about this at some point, but like, I remember last year I talked to him like about a week or two before they played Ohio State.
Yep.
And it was in Columbus, and JJ said something to me where as soon as he said it, I was like, ooh, this is going to be bulletin board material. And it ran in this Biff Poggi story I did about Jim Harbaugh's right-hand guy last year. And it was towards the end of the story, and JJ backed it up. It was arguably his greatest game, right? Because it was certainly no Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, who ran wild, but Donovan was playing banged up too. And JJ made some big throws and burned them and kind of carried them through. And just the fact that this guy grew up wanting to be a Buckeye, and they chose somebody else, and now he is, you know, he also epitomizes Michigan. You know, one of my more memories of him was, you know, a couple hours before the game this year in Ann Arbor, I'm walking through the tunnel, and I see Corum come up, and then JJ comes by, and, you know, at that point, you know, it's not like the NFL where you're talking to people right before the game, usually. Right. JJ, like, he just had this big smile on his face, kind of nodded. And I was like, man, this guy looks like he's just the happiest guy in the world right now. And he's about to play one of the biggest games of his life. And his demeanor seems to really also epitomize his team.
It's kind of funny. Marshall Faulk came over to watch the game, and I'm not just saying that.
Name drop, by the way.
I appreciate it. But, you know, I've known him for a long time. And, you know, my wife, Susie, surprised me by saying, hey, Marshall's coming over. Cause he also sat there on so many Sunday mornings and watched me slink in to game day morning, having Mooch give me crap for the Michigan State Spartans beating Michigan, all that stuff. But anyway, the reason why I bring it up is I said, you know, he's kind of Jim's spirit animal. And the response was, I don't think Jim's ever meditated a day in his life. You know, like Jim's kind of, you know, active all around. And J.J. McCarthy's a guy who takes his shoes off so he could feel the ground before a game and then sits and meditates by the goalpost, you know. And it's kind of wild to see all this. It's finally out. I can't believe I'm talking with this. Like, normally these conversations after national championship, we're talking Georgia, we're talking Alabama, we're talking Clemson, Ohio State. Now, I can't believe we're talking about my school like this.
But that's kind of the beauty of a team. Like, we were talking, you know, they have had a great offensive line for a long time. But you talk about Sainer still, to me, he also epitomizes a team, because if he's sitting here next to you, he looks kind of like a grad student, you know, when he's walking around, just because, like, you know, he wears the glasses. He's rather slight for a football star. He's super thoughtful and engaging. But, like, that team, you know, I mean, he plays bigger than anybody.
Well, he lives in the moment. Is you know, the photograph you took last year at the Fiesta Bowl where he was staring at the purple confetti coming down. And I'm just wondering if he was sitting there thinking, I'm not seeing purple confetti tonight. That's for damn sure. You know what I mean? Like, because it would have been the same color on the field in Houston.
Yeah, he's definitely, I mean, you know, one of the cool things that, you know, my coworker Joel Klatt had said after they played Penn State, and that was a real battle, obviously. It was Chiron's first game as the, you know, in the last month of the season as the head coach. And he, you know, they ran it 30 plus times in a row. And I remember Joel saying, JJ was the one more than anybody who was like, let's just lean on him like that. And I think there is a selfless quality to this team that, you know, look, I get why people don't like Jim Harbaugh. I get why people get, you know, don't want to, you know, are tired of Michigan because it's been a dominant story all year round. But there really is a selfless quality to this team that I think was one of the key ingredients to that. And look, Harbaugh is so different, but he seems to be really authentic. And the players, you know, kind of raved about playing for him and why. You know, some of the players I talked to over the weekend were like, talked about Cool Jim, as it's like, it's almost like an alter ego that shows up sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I think this was a really interesting team as it came together, because we've seen teams over the years that, you know, they're loaded with star power and everything, or it's like the Saban teams kind of blur together, and that's unfair to them because they're unique to themselves. But we on the outside kind of blur it together. This Michigan team was very, very different from what we've seen win the national title the last decade.
Bruce Feldman here from the Fox Sports and the Athletic. Let's just point blanket. Is Jim gone? Is he leaving?
I'd be really surprised if Jim has coaches another game at Michigan. I mean, he has done everything he could have hoped to do. He not only took back the rivalry, he dominated the rivalry, he dominated the Big Ten. And then he slayed all the Dragons this year. Okay, so, you know, from some of the people I know who know Jim best, one of the things they said that burns for him is he's never won a Super Bowl.
That does.
Came really close.
I know you said it, I think, 2 weeks ago, like there's one thing Michigan can never give him, and that's a Lombardi trophy.
Right.
And that is, so you hear that from the people who are close, like it burns, like they'll have conversations
with him. Yeah, it's one thing that they know that's the one thing. And again, Jim is different than most of the guys who've been really successful college football coaches. Jim's a proven NFL head coach. Like all these other guys, we've talked about this before, like, you know, Urban bombed in the NFL. He'd never been there before.
I think you're understating it, what he did in the NFL.
I work with him still. So
I'm sorry. Okay.
But like Matt Rhule, you know, is a really good college coach. Matt Rhule, you know how that went. And, you know, but like Urban was 44-19, took over a 49er team that was nowhere near what it is now. They had like a decade of mediocrity, and he wasted no time getting them going. So, you know, again, is it going to be the right fit? I think I know what happened when he went on signing day to Minnesota, and that didn't go well. But I think if you're an NFL franchise and you're sitting there going, all right, are we going to approach this interview the same way we would approach it if it's Ben Johnson or if it's you name the hot assistant coach?
So you're saying what happened in Minnesota where let's have another like a long ass Zoom or an in-person meeting, or the Broncos want a second shot at it. Those days, I would imagine that would be over. Like, hey, you got one interview with Jim Harbaugh because you know what he can do. You know what he just did. There's no reason. You're right. You can't treat that interview like you would just try to kick a tire on a coordinator that's never done it before. I totally understand that. But my, you know, and again, this may be wishful or hopeful, but the idea that he could be Bo, right? That he could be the second coming of his coach, where he personifies for decades at the job what it is to be a Michigan man.
He's already got that.
No, I know he's already got that, but to do it for a long time and get multiple championships and put himself in the pantheon of you know, coaches like Saban or Kirby Smart, where you get multiple championships and that's the level you dominate, and put aside the whole concept of that Lombardi trophy. Because the money's going to be there. The money's on the table right now, is it not, in Michigan right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, I don't think him? The money is going to be the thing. I mean, it's not my money, but I think, you know, what you just said, he could do it for a long time. He's actually done this job for a long time. Like 9 years in this day and age as a college football coach,
right,
in the day of the portal and the day of NIL and all the other stuff. This is not a knock on the coaches of the 70s and 80s. The job is way different. It is. I'm not saying it's 10 times harder. I do think the grind of it is very different. Now, the money is way more. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's relative or not relative. But, again, you know, nothing, I guess, should shock us in this day and age.
Sure,
but,
no,
like, to me, it's going to be, does the NFL piece of this just fit for him, right?
What's the fit?
Again, I think the fit is going to be somebody not sitting down with him and expecting, okay, what's your schedule is going to be like for the off season. It's going to be like, okay, do we want Jim Harbaugh running the show here? Are we comfortable with Jim Harbaugh working for us, working with us, the whole thing?
And what about for him, though? Got to be a quarterback. Does he, based on your knowledge, need the choice of general manager? Does he shop for the groceries, last say in the draft room?
I would think you'd want it if you're him on that piece.
Right.
But, like, there's a really good quarterback. And
just
not
up far from here.
Yeah. Brand new facilities coming in. I know that his wife liked living in Southern California.
Okay, yeah.
Again, I have no idea what direction the Chargers ultimately are going to go. I just think also it's like some of the people in leadership there know who Jim Harbaugh is. I mean, he's been there before. I don't think there would be any surprises to me. Like when you know, if you're in Jacksonville or if you were in the Panthers, those were new relationships. You know, I'm not saying nobody knew who Urban Meyer was when you're hiring him. But Matt Rhule, you know, it's like, I think with Jim Harbaugh, you probably have a sense of what you're getting.
Yeah.
Right? So.
You're getting a guy who's committed to being an NFL head coach to win that one last thing that he's missing.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting somebody who's going on that mission, and you just saw what he did, you know, on a mission with Michigan. Can I get you to stay one more segment?
Sure.
I've got a couple more questions for you about the future of, you know, the next couple of years of college football, and then a juicy question.
Okay.
I'm not going to say what it is, other than just you should stick around. By the way, I don't usually do that.
You got an eyebrow raise out of Brockman. I kind of glanced over.
He has no idea what
juicy.
I'm saying. You have
no
idea.
I'm confused.
All right, that's next. Bruce Feldman is still here on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't go anywhere. Deebo Samuel still to come as well.
Welcome to Talkville, the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Karen, what you got?
Hi, guys. Karen Applem from Australia with a quick question for season 3 Talisman. That knife wound healing scene was so powerful. Tom, what was it like to do that scene with John as your director?
It's great that I was with those people, because when your eyes are closed and someone is supposed to going to stab you in the chest, you have to really trust that they're not going to hurt you. So yeah. I was in good hands with John.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here on the Roku channel, our radio audience will rejoin in a couple of minutes. Bruce Feldman's still here. 1 year from now, we're still playing, though, right?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
So this would have been the semifinal weekend?
Right. So we would have had, going into the opening round, it was almost like in the middle of getting ready for National Signing Day. And it's just kind of crazy calendar at this point.
So January 1 next year is going to be the quarterfinal games. So the four teams that played in the college football playoffs this year would have off that week, correct? They'd still not yet be playing?
I'm trying to remember how the calendar's breaking on this.
Okay.
But I know it's going to drag on. Like, you're going to have 7 games, obviously, as opposed to 3. So that's the difference of a longer.
So the 4 games. So, wow. How are they going to do that? It can't all be on the 4 games on the same day, are they?
I think they were going to try to space as much as they could from a TV standpoint, because also you got to remember they don't want to go up against the NFL either.
Right. That's, you know, so, I mean, the NFL coughed up the Monday night this year. They put the Lions and the Cowboys on Saturday night instead.
Yeah.
You know, so they did that.
Yeah, and so the semifinals is a Thursday, January 9th, and Friday, January 10th.
Yeah, so it drags on to
and the national championship is Monday the 20th.
We're still playing next year.
Oh, sorry, that's in 2025. Sorry.
Yeah, that's when it would be, Chris. It's 2024.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, calendar year 2025.
Yeah, January 20th.
Damn. So January 20th, it would be like Martin Luther King Day night? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Pretty much?
In Atlanta, no less.
Wow. That's big.
Yeah.
Okay. We're just trying to see, like, the college football world just ended.
Yeah,
you know, as we know,
quarterfinals are Tuesday the 31st and Wednesday the 1st.
There you go.
Right, and back in the day, it wasn't that long ago, where it was like everything was kind of culminated January 1st.
That's right. That's now right.
We're
that's right.
February 1st.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, along with our Roku channel feed, Bruce Feldman still here. All right. So, juicy question, because I know there's a lot of Ohio State friends of mine that see Mike Vrabel just got cut loose by Tennessee, and that's the guy they want. They think that's the guy that can reverse the course.
I'm sure they do.
Is that at all possible?
The only way I think it's realistic is if somebody bites on Ryan Day in the NFL.
Hmm.
I'd be surprised if that happens.
But in the same way that maybe the Crafts are contemplating the future for Belichick, or were, without the idea that Vrabel could possibly be an option for them if they do part ways with Bill, there's no that's not happening in Columbus, Ohio, in the athletic department at all.
I don't know how you would. I'm sure all the Ohio State fans, you know, want that.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get Ryan Day out. You can't fire him.
I understand that his record is
astoundingly good.
Astoundingly good.
Yeah.
I understand that. But you understand the way that the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry is viewed better than most.
Yeah.
And also, you know, what just happened against Missouri, transfer portal or not, you know, they didn't score a touchdown in a bowl game after losing to Michigan for a third straight year, and Michigan just won it all.
You were this glowing is like a, when you were saying this, by the way.
But no, like, what I'm doing is potentially, you can, excuse me, you can call it glowing. I call it spitting facts, and this is exactly what Ohio State fans are talking about right now. Livid,
yeah,
and freaked out that this whole Michigan-Ohio State paradigm has been flipped on its head, and Mike Vrabel just appeared on the open market for coaching. So there's no there, is what you're saying.
I wouldn't say there's no there. I mean,
trust me, I'm not hoping for it at all. I you know, and I'm sure Mike Vrabel wants to stay in the, you know, level of sport where there's rules around free agency.
Most,
you
know, most coaches I know who, you know, have the options would rather be in the work in the NFL than in college football.
Right.
The college
right now.
Football calendar is out of control, and it's way longer, and it's way more chaotic, and there's way less structure to it. I'm not saying Mike Vrabel wouldn't love to you know. I go back to this, and this is probably not a fair comparison, but like Dan Campbell, who's done an amazing job, obviously, with the Lions.
Yes.
You know, he's a Texas A&M guy through and through, but I don't think that's the right, you know, I think he looks and goes, all right, I have a good situation here. I'm already invested in this. Now, obviously, he's building something as opposed to now, you know, you have Mike Vrabel's out the door, but I still think Mike Vrabel, given what he did, should be a hot commodity in the NFL as well.
Oh, there's no doubt about
it. So it's not like he doesn't have options. I mean, a lot of the guys I know who coached in both are like, yeah, I'd love to coach in the NFL as opposed to college.
Oh, but I'm just asking the question because I know what Ohio State friends of mine are thinking and talking about.
I just don't know how, like, you would have to hope that, you know, it's not going to be the Panthers. They're not going to hire another college coach or whatever. But, like, it would have to be an NFL team go, I want to take a chance on Ryan Day right now. And I just don't think, like, Ryan Day is a really good offensive coach. And one of the things that I know, like, his camp has tried to sell is, hey, he's a really good offensive coach, and he knows how to work with young quarterbacks and develop them. And so, yeah, there's going to be a bunch of quarterbacks who are coming into the league. Maybe that would be a pairing, but I'm a little skeptical, just Ryan Day's name and stock. And I don't know how much this carries weight with NFL owners,
mm-hmm.
but this is probably as low as it's been in like 3 years. If you had said this 2 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, I could see somebody. But just the combination of, because he has spent a little time in the NFL as an assistant. It's not like he has no NFL experience.
Right.
But I'm a little skeptical that Ryan Day will end up getting a head coaching chance this cycle coming off what they have.
And that's the only way that Ohio State would not say, we've got Vrabel, he can come home, he played here.
But what do you do with Ryan Day then?
Pay him off.
Honestly, I'm not wishing anything at all. As a matter of fact, he's my favorite coach since John Cooper. There. And I don't want Vrabel part of this mix at all. Certainly if Harbaugh's moving on. I'm just saying this is what the fans that I know
I'm
are
sure,
saying.
Yeah, I'm sure. I just don't know, like, Ryan Day's record is remarkable there. I know he's lost.
He is remarkable.
Yeah, I cannot imagine somebody would fire a guy
who's 50-3, pretty much.
Yeah, in the Big Ten. And, you know, it's just like.
No, I know.
He probably came within a missed field goal last year at the last second of winning a national title. Yeah.
I'm only asking this because if the greatest coach of all time, and we're wondering if the greatest coach of all time might not be where he is right now because Vrabel's free, I can ask that of the Ohio State head coach.
He's 56-8.
I mean, it's an absurd record. Before I let you go, there's been a seismic movement in college football. It seems, what, three straight summers? Is it three straight summers? Was it three summers ago that Texas
and Oklahoma
left, right?
And then obviously we had USC, UCLA, and then everything collapsed around the
Pac-12. Right, and then this past year it was the collapse of the Pac-12 completely, right? I don't know if it's been 2 years in a row. What are we looking at?
I don't know.
Is it the ACC's dissolution?
Well, let's see what happens with Florida State. I mean, there's a lot of legal entanglements that could happen. There's been more saber rattling, to use an expression, with Florida State and its leadership about how frustrated they are with how things played out. That's a really messy situation because, you know, ESPN basically is so tied into the SEC, but they're also tied into the ACC and this TV deal and the TV network that they run. I don't see them bidding against themselves for this. Now, if Florida State and whoever else, if there was the Big Ten would say, hey, we want to expand again and we're going to take these two brands to expand our footprint and everything else, that to me would seem like a more viable option if the Big Ten actually wanted to do that. I don't know that there is interest for the Big Ten to do that now. Because remember, they're already moving to bring in four new teams and four new schools, and it's a big difference in the relationship. And I think to have that much of a massive overhaul and then to add on top of it something, some expats from the ACC, I don't know if the timing would be now, but, you know, maybe a few years from now.
Bruce Feldman, thank you, sir. Let's keep this going on Wednesdays. Bruce Feldman here from the Fox Sports and the Athletic. When we come back, Deebo Samuel of the San Francisco 49ers in hour three. So we got about a minute and a half to go. I mean, the Big Ten might not want to expand. I don't what's on their to-do list if Harbaugh leaves? There's no one else to persecute.
I think their to-do list is to really welcome and make sure that the relationship and the transition. You're proud of yourself, aren't you?
I'm very proud of myself. By the way, I don't mean to use you as a pawn in my game with Chris like that. I apologize. Because you were giving me a good answer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, but I think right now, everything from talking to Big Ten people is they have a big transition coming up with USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon coming in. I think just because the paperwork has been done doesn't mean the heavy lifting isn't going on.
I agree. This is geographically, spatially, mentally.
Relationship-wise.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Do one of those four teams have a better chance of winning the Big Ten or Oklahoma and Texas at winning the SEC?
Good question. Texas, to me, is primed to transition better because of what they have coming back. I mean, USC has to rebuild. Washington is losing Penix and a lot of really good players. I think Oregon is dangerous, though. I would say Oregon, Texas would be the two schools that are most ready to make a conference title run.
And plus, for Texas, it now officially just means more. You know what I mean? Just pointing that out. Because to Michigan, it didn't mean more at all. Oh, this is so great. I'm loving life. Thanks for being here, Bruce. And thanks for being right. Thanks for being right.
You're welcome.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain. on 83 Weeks.
I mean, I dig Jey Uso because he's born out of great storytelling and he lived up to the opportunity and exceeded it. The LA Knight, he's way up on my list because here's a guy that's been around for almost ever, should have probably quit a half a dozen times, and he just forced his way into their life. And now he's making money hand over fist. That is a story I love.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.